Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds throughout the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." His slave said to him, "Do you want us to go pull them up?" He replied, "No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" His disciples approached and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we have another of the 8 parables that are in this 13th chapter, St. Matthew. The original parable would have been on Saturday if we didn't have the Feast of St. James, which is why we began with it. But there was separation in between the giving of the parable and the explanation, just like we see throughout this chapter with the parable of the sower and the seed and others. It's a time where the disciples were engaging the parable, trying to figure out what the meaning of it was, and really couldn't do it adequately, so they were coming to the Lord and asking for a definitive interpretation. We, as good disciples of the Master, need to battle with this. And there seem to be some disturbing things here. An enemy sows his seed in the field. Jesus is going to talk about what that is. And then second, it seems, especially after the third type of soil of the thorn bushes choking the growth of the seed, that the first thing that should be done is that you should get rid of those weeds. And it's a little disturbing that in the parable, the Master says an emphatic, "No, don't do that." Let's enter on into what this is all about. This is a big time development over the parable of the sower and the seed. Parable of the sower and the seed was the growth that happens in us individually depending upon our soil sample, receptivity and our responsiveness. Yesterday we had made a little bit of a shift from that type of individual growth to the growth of the kingdom as a whole under the images of the mustard seed and the leaven. Today we see that the seed that God sows into the world is meant to be us in union with Him. Because that growth has occurred, because we've received that grain of wheat inside, we begin to grow with Him, and He wants to sow us as children of the kingdom in the middle of the world. That we are the seeds of that growth, not just His Word, but His Word made flesh in us. But there is an enemy, and the enemy sows his seeds in the middle of the world. And Jesus identifies that enemy as the devil. And the weeds are the children of the evil one. When we first hear that, It's a little frightening. In fact, it seems a little Calvinist. It seems like there's predestination here. Children of God, children of the kingdom, versus children of the evil one. But when we're talking about children, we're talking about a relationship between father and child. And there are two poles there. And when we, our filiation is a sense, two choices. A choice made by another, and a choice to which we respond. That's why, for example, when we talk about our being children of God, with St. Paul we talk about ourselves as being adopted children of God. God has come, and out of love adopted us and given us all the rights as His only begotten Son, to become heirs with Christ if only we suffer with Him. But at the same time, we need to respond to that gift of adoption. Likewise with the devil. The devil wants to adopt us. He wants to make us his own. But we've got to respond to that invitation. And the weeds are those who have responded to that invitation of the devil. Not necessarily as explicit devil worshippers, but when he offers sin, tempts them in that way, they embrace it. And both are out there in the fields. So why don't we eradicate the evil? It's an incredible principle that Jesus gives. Because he doesn't want to uproot the good seed as well. Doesn't want to hurt his children. What's that all about? To use the image in the Holy Land, which is essential for us to grasp this. Good grain, wheat, was indistinguishable from a very common weed called lolium, which is still its Latin term, or in Greek, zanzania. When they were very young, you couldn't, even the experts can't tell the difference as soon as they're sprouted. And then when they're finally grown, so that you can easily tell the difference, those who can tell color could tell the difference because the weed is gray. Their weeds are so intertwined that if you are going to try to eradicate the weeds, you will pull up the wheat. And the value of the wheat is such that God wants us to become patient. What happens in the Holy Land is you do have harvest time, and then you would pay these women with the great ability to see these things fast, to be able to separate them all. And that's the image that Jesus is using about the judgment. In contrast to the impatience of the disciples, we've got the great patience of God. Where does this find its incredible relevance? There are many of us today who worry far more about finding heretics than making disciples. We obsess about the people who are harming culture. We obsess about the people inside the church who really aren't necessarily walking the walk and perhaps giving a bad example and the rest. It's not like we should be oblivious to it and not care. But in terms of where our real thrust is, a lot of the times we can get into this excuse-making thing. Well, if only we had better bishops, if only the priests were doing their jobs better, if only the religious, if there were more religious, if only the catechists actually knew what they were teaching, if only politicians lived up to their Catholic faith, if only parents did a better job in raising their children in the faith, if only Catholics stopped using contraception, if only we're focusing on all of this other type of stuff, where what Jesus wants us to prioritize is the real living as children of the Father in the midst of the world, so that our example may so shine that others will be drawn from the darkness to the light. God doesn't want us not to criticize the evil, but he wants that not to be our obsession. He's going to sort it all out one day. What he really wants is for us to do our job and to grow spiritually in the middle of the world and to help others to grow. There's also another reason here. God can miraculously change weed into wheat. We see that in the life of St. Paul. If the harvest had happened prior to his conversion, we wouldn't have had all this fruit. We see it in the life of St. Augustine. If the harvest had happened before his conversion, we'd have never had all that incredible fruit that continues to feed us to this day. God the Father is patient precisely in order to allow even the opportunity for the children of the evil one to become children of the Father, because he never gives up. To become a child of God, what do we need? To be that good seed in that kingdom. We need to learn from what God was teaching the Israelites, brings to completion in Jesus. You remember what we heard beautifully proclaimed this morning? About the Lord, about our Father, but the one who's adopted us and wants us to be chips off the old divine block. The Lord, as he's passing Moses on the top of Mount Sinai, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. Again, we see God's merciful patience, continuing his kindness for 1,000 generations, forgiving wickedness and crime and sin, yet not declaring the guilty, guiltless. He knows that there are weeds out there, but he's slow, he's kind, he's merciful. He's always trying to bring about that great metamorphosis, and he wants us to be like him. How does that occur? How do we become more like him? Got a couple images here. First is the image of adoration. We ultimately become like the one we adore. If we're worshiping a golden calf, we're going to be incredibly greedy. I mean, it's a vicious cycle downward, right? But if we're really worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth, we become more and more like him. And so in a vision of what would be available to us in adoration, God comes into that tent among the Israelites. You know, that word tent in Hebrew and then in Greek, it's the word for the incarnation. When we say Jesus took flesh and dwelt among us, we say he was tabernacled among us. He was tented among us, which is why the Basilica of the Annunciation is made in the form of a teepee, it almost looks like, to symbolize what the word actually means, that God has made his tent among us. And we see here that when Moses would go in and have a chance to speak to God personally, that's what it means face to face. Not just way outside, but that have personal contact and communion. And the Israelites would come out and adore from their tents. What eventually happened? Yes, we've got Eucharistic adoration, in which we can speak to God face to face. We can be involved in that personal relationship. But there's something more. I'm looking at 5 tenths here, and you're looking at 1/2. The Lord has tabernacled himself within us. That's what happens in all of Holy Communion, so that we can, in fact, continue that conversation always. You know, conversion and conversation come from the same Latin words. What does it mean? Conversion comes from convertere, right? That we're turning with the Lord. And conversation means that we're constantly turning with the Lord and we're talking to him about it. We're talking to him about it. Something that continues. And the more we do that, and the more, frankly, we're saying, speak, Lord, for your servant's listening, rather than shut up, Lord, I want the floor. The more we listen to the Lord, the more we become merciful and gracious, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity, continuing kindness throughout the entirety of our life. Second thing we see here is once we begin that conversation, it's not meant to stop at any point. That's the reason why the Lord has tented himself within us. Supposed to continue in life. Moses says at the end, if I find favor with you, O Lord. What's that word, favor? You're all hearing the word charis, aren't you? Which is grace. To be filled with grace. You have found favor with the Lord. It means you've been graced. If I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. God has in fact done that, and that's what the mystery of the Incarnation is. God does come along in our company, provided that we seek to respond to the Father's offer of adoption, and in the Son live more and more as His beloved sons and daughters. That is this great mystery. We're celebrating today a votive Mass for the evangelization of peoples. As Cardinal Ratzinger always talks about, the transmission of faith comes when we give the Word our flesh and we're transformed by that Holy Word, we're transformed by God from the inside, that we're able to give God together with ourselves to others, that we're able to proclaim by our witness what we believe and profess with our lips. That's evangelization. That's this whole process. Today, Jesus is going to sow Himself in us, so that united with Him, tabernacled with Him, we might become true children in the Son. And then at the end of Mass, with His blessing, He's going to send us out to sow us in the middle of the world. We're going to be sown among wheat. We're going to be sown among weeds. We're going to find both out there, with patience and kindness and mercy. Let us obsess about our growth to become more like God and others, so that we don't have to wait until the end of time for people to be able to see righteous sons and daughters shining like the sun in the kingdom of the Father, the kingdom Jesus comes and proclaims is already within. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.